in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. It is time for the Family Christmas Light Economic Indicator. More Christmas lights you see per neighborhood. That's a sign of retail confidence, and it's also directly correlated back to Black Friday sales. So if we could ever really measure, probably from outer space, the number of Christmas lights put up in neighborhoods across the country, there we can really get an economic indicator, much better than retail sales for Black Friday and the Black Friday weekend, which are talked about and talked about almost like a presidential debate a year before the primary. Lots of fodder and non-predictive. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, the Sunday post-Thanksgiving as we head into almost into December. So good to be here. We are live. So if you are headed to a two-hour wait at Hartsfield-Jackson, or you are traveling today, the very busiest day of the holiday season, you're probably freaking out right now trying to get to the airport, and you're not worried about talking about money. You're saying, "Well, God, honey, we're late. Honey, we're late. Get in the car. Let's go." I wonder how long the security line will be. Who likes to travel? I'm so happy to be home on Sunday here in the state of Georgia, in the city of Atlanta, and half the world is traveling right now. It's good to be home. And by the way, December is almost here. We're going to talk about what December looks like when it comes to the stock market. Good, is it a good month? Is it a bad month? And then fold in to what we've seen, at least so far, preliminarily, for retail holiday sales. And then again, of course, how that translates back into the world of retail. And guess what? Of course, we are retail economy, still about 71.5% of U.S. GDP tied back to consumption. We are live here in the studio. The number 404-872-0750 is the number here live in the studio. Again, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely is there on the phones, probably a little lonely right now. I mean, he's probably just feeling a little lonely, maybe a little bored. So give us a call here in the studio, and we'll talk finance, investment, maybe some currency strategy. And we'll fold it all in to what you should be doing so you can maybe just retire a little sooner than you might think. Again, let's say you have a question about some sort of life event. You know, we talked about some pretty gloomy stuff this Thanksgiving, me and my family. We had my mom in town. She is remarried to someone new. We were talking a little bit about the future, estate planning kind of stuff. It's really not great. So it's good to have the conversation. You have to have the conversation. It's not the most enjoyable one. So maybe you had a life event that forced you to take another look at what you're doing with your money. We can chat about it. We can maybe give you a second opinion. Maybe you're just worried about a mutual fund that you bought, or what mutual fund or ETF, exchange traded fund, that you should be looking for or buying or owning or maybe selling. Maybe you're worried about the cost of what you're paying for. Maybe you're worried about a pension where you have a company that's trying to give you some sort of lump sum and take away or get rid of the monthly obligation they have for life towards you. What's a good deal? Is it the monthly amount or is it the lump sum amount? How do you do that calculation? Maybe you're faced with that today. We'll talk that through here in the studio. And then what has been a very, very hot topic over the last couple, really the last month now, since the beginning of November, they changed the rules for Social Security. So if you're 66 and up, by this April 30th, 2016, you're grandfathered in. If you're below that age, a lot of these rules are changing and will be changed for you when it's time for you to collect. So we can go through those nuances and those rule changes as well. Number in the studio, 404-872-0750 this Sunday as we head almost into December. And by the way, good thing December's almost here. So Wall Street loves December. They love to talk about how wonderful December is. And maybe it's because there's a lot to talk about in the world we live in today, obviously. It's a chaotic world, kind of like your Thanksgiving. That's a microcosm of what's happening all over the world. It's just chaotic, and it's something we have to just learn to live with. That's the world and the investment world we live in. But every single article about the market that I read over the last couple of days talks about how great December is going to be. So, and historically, writers love, the media loves to talk about December and the stats behind December. So we really have two things that the media loves that we'll talk about today. One, December and what it means for the market, and two, retail sales, Black Friday. So we'll talk about that. So if you look at the last 87 Decembers, so you go all the way back to 1928 through today, 64 of them out of the last 87, that's almost a full three quarters, 74% of the time, those months are in the positive. They're in the green. That's the best batting average for any month of the year. And when December is up, in fact, when we do get a positive December, the average percentage increase is a whopping 3%. That's a big deal. That's a big move on for an average up move for December. And when December is actually bad, which is only about a quarter of the time, the average decline is, well, almost the inverse of that, 2.9% decline, which, by the way, is the least of any month on the downside. So for average monthly decline. So December is a very solid track record. And you know what? We could use a positive month here. We're basically flat again as we get to wrapping up this year. We're pretty much flat on the year. Dow is actually flat on the year. The S&P 500, the Dow is down 0.14% so far year to date, 2015. S&P 500 up about a measly, meager 1.5%. So basically trading up and down on the flat line throughout the year. 10-year bond, by the way, 2.22% yield to lend money to the government for a decade. And here we are. So we go into a December with really lots of movement this year, but no directional movement. And the world continues to be in this constant state of chaos. We've got, and if you just got through Thanksgiving, like all of us did, or many of us did, remember, you've got family and kids and grandkids and cousins and step-parents that you dealt with for this last several period, the last couple of days. You've got in-laws. You've got, I know that some of you probably have outlaws that you've been with. And that's just, it's a wonderful way of life, but it's that chaos that we are, so many of us just live in. That is, it's the world we live in. So we have to adapt to it. We have to live with it. We have to really just embrace it. Like the political and investment, the chaotic political investment environment that we live in today. You know, we had a Russian fighter jet get downed in Turkey, and just as it looked like we'd have another rusty nail in the market, then all of a sudden these strong economic numbers came through. So we had home price data come out this past week, durable goods orders this past week. And then we had, these were all net positive. Home prices continue to do very, very well. Year over year, we're up over almost 5.5%, Case-Shiller Home Price Index. So housing continues to do well, continues to recover. We also had an upward revision to third quarter GDP. So the economy, every time you'll hear an economist talk about how bad things are, when you really look at the numbers, we end up with a relatively, it's not a bad economy, not a robust economy. Third quarter GDP was at 1.5%. That got revised this week up to over 2% growth for the third quarter. So this economy is doing well. It's not on fire. It's still in that B+ mode. We talk about it. I try to grade the economy on a scale from effectively a letter scale. A is wonderful, and F is a failing grade. Today, we're at a B to a B+, and we continue to be, and it's been that way for many months now. Let's talk about retail sales, though. We've got ShopperTrack says, number one, that we spent about $2 billion in retail sales on Thanksgiving Day. The next day, Black Friday, that everyone seems to care so much about, we spent a little over $10 billion. according to Shopper Track. So now, this is what's funny. Foot traffic is evidently continuing to fall. So that's the bad news. We continue to see less and less foot traffic, fewer store visits on Black Friday. But the same company or same research firm is telling us that we're having less traffic also is predicting almost a 2.5% increase in sales over last year. And really, it's not just about foot traffic. As we know today, in the world we live in, consumers are getting smarter and smarter and smarter. They've been listening to Clark Howard, and they're getting smarter, and they're going to the internet, and they're getting better research, and they're more targeting. We're all targeting where we want to shop online now. We're doing research. We know where we're going to go. We don't have to go to 50 stores and kind of find stuff. We figure out where we need to go, and we're more efficient today as shoppers. So online continues to be this wonderful complement to brick and mortar stores, and online sales continue. They play a bigger and bigger role in retail sales. Black Friday results, by the way, are an awful lot of hype. And they're not all that predictive. We're going to talk about the results of Black Friday straight after a break. And we're going to go to the phones here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here on WSB Radio, we're going to go to the phones here. A lot of good calls on hold, of course. We also, just a quick reminder, Clark's 25th year Christmas Kids begins this Thursday, folks. So let's remember that. Clark Howard Christmas Kids returns 25th year, Thursday, late afternoon and evening. We're going to see Clark again all over Walmarts around Georgia. So this Thursday in Roswell, Friday at the Walmart in Ashford Dunwoody. Next Saturday, Christmas Kids in East Cobb. So come out and support Clark. Christmas Kids will be there from WSB Radio broadcasting. You'll see a lot of the WSB folks. Please join us. We are going to go to the phones here. Steve joins us from Cumming. Steve, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. I'm a regular listener to your show. Really enjoy it. I've got a problem or a situation. Most of the people that call in are at or approaching retirement and do not have enough money saved up. My situation is my wife and I are both retired, late 60s. I've got over $1 million in the stock market. I have a very good pension and Social Security, about $120,000 a year.
Wow! So you don't really even need to dip into the investment money,
I don't need to invest or dip, like you said, dip into my investments. And I sit here wondering every day about the stock market. My thinking is, should I just pull it out, draw 1% interest on a CD, and forget it? Because I don't need any more money. It's a situation that, unfortunately, a lot of your callers are just the opposite. They don't have any savings.
To your point, Steve, it's kind of a good problem to have. But here's what I think's happening in your particular case. You're suffering from something that I call, you're suffering from a case of LLN. It's a condition when you get to the point that you're in right now, and it stands for the law of large numbers, is LLN. And it means you've got $1 million or $2 million or $10 million, and every tiny percentage move in the stock market is a lot of money in nominal dollars. What's 1%, which happens almost any day, any given day in the stock market, if you're fully invested $1 million, that's 10 grand. You get a big move of a 3% down day, which we see, that's $30,000. The more money you have at work, at play in the market, the larger those numbers are, the more emotional it becomes when you look at these bottom line results. And I think a lot of us are in the position that Steve is here, where you get to the point where it gets very unsettling. So, Steve, I'm going to answer this question a little bit further straight ahead after the break. So hang on for us, and I want to talk about this very scenario here, and we appreciate
back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving Sunday, as we head into December. And we've got a lot coming up next week. If you think about what's happening next week in the world, we're going to get manufacturing data, ISM manufacturing. We're going to get November vehicle sales. We're going to get the jobs report coming up Friday, the first Friday in December, which we'll talk about the jobs that we created or destroyed in November. And so there's a lot happening as we head into what's supposed to be the best month of all time. Wall Street writers love to talk about the how wonderful December is. It's almost here. Wall Street's up the last 87 years, almost three quarters of the time, 64 out of the last 87 Decembers in the green, on average, up 3% when December is in the positive. And when it's negative, it's the least bad month with a negative average on the year. So when it goes bad, it's less bad than other months. So you've got a lot of momentum sentiment-wise around December. I want to remind you too, remember Clark's Christmas Kids coming up though, switching gears. 25th year that Clark has done this. Starts this Thursday or Thursday evening. We're gonna our listener and Clark and all those of us here at WSB, we're gonna take care of Christmas for Georgia's foster kids. Thursday's in Roswell, Friday at the Walmart in Ashford Dunwoody, and next Saturday, Clark's Christmas Kids in East Cobb. So you can see a full schedule of all the events under the events tab. Just go to WSBradio.com. And of course, thank you to WSB's Clark Howard and to you, our listener, which makes it all possible. Thousands and thousands of kids. It's funny, the girls at the office, Holly and Amanda this year, already ordered. There's a lot of stuff that these kids request. These are Georgia's foster kids will request that aren't necessarily at a Walmart. So we go and we'll get a list of requests from kids. And because not everything is in a Walmart, the girls this holiday season actually went on to Amazon. So and the crazy thing about Amazon, of course, it's not like they know that we have this big bulk order. So I think that Holly and Amanda ordered like 150 different presents because we try to shop for several dozen kids. And they've all come within like, they all came within a 2-day period to the office. So we had like 150 separate packages from Amazon and FedEx, and the FedEx guy thought we were crazy. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to go back to the phones here, 404-872-0750. You know, one of the more interesting calls we've had in a long time here, I don't know if Steve's still with us. Steve, are you still with us? Still on the line? Okay. And thanks for hanging on. I know it's a little bit of a hold here, but I want to get back to your question because this is a really important note, is that Steve's got it, from the quick conversation that we've had, he's got the basics covered tremendously. So he's got a pension. You say you have a pension, Social Security up over $100,000 a year.
Yes.
So technically, if you had $1 million or $2 million or $10 million, doesn't really matter because you've got all of your bills covered just through pension, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So the problem though that Steve is having, and this is a pretty common problem. It's not the worst problem, by the way, to have, but it is a real issue, is that you've got all this money invested, and let's say it's all tied to the market. Steve, what's your percentage? How much of that, of your nest egg, let's call it right at $1 million, is tied to or moves with the moves in the Dow Jones or the S&P 500?
Approximately 95% in the stock market, and then just about 5%. In the cash.
How much, if you were to go into the portfolio, is it a bunch of mutual funds? Is it ETFs? Is it a bunch of individual companies? What does it look like inside?
Mostly individual companies with a couple of ETFs.
But again, they're 95% in stock. So your problem here is that you, particularly in a year like this, where we are up and down and up and down, and if you go back, if you looked at August and September, the market dropped about 14%. So you probably saw, let's just call it a 10% drop during that period of time, which to you was probably around a $100,000 change in value, right?
Yes.
Okay. Herein lies the problem. This, Steve, and so many investors, as you get so methodically, when you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, A, you're just getting started. You're, the snowball is starting to accumulate, right? And you don't notice, because you're working, first of all, and you're putting money away, you don't notice changes in value as much. But when you get to the to your, quote, destination, when the accumulation phase is over and you've got all the money you're going to have, so many different things are happening, and I call this this condition. The condition we refer to is the condition of LLN, and that stands for the law of large numbers. So you get to the point where you have $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, and now every 1 percentage move, which isn't a lot for the market, is a lot to you in dollar terms. That's what's happening to Steve here, is that it's tied to the market. Now, here's what I would suggest, and let me try to give you some perspective and a little bit of advice on this, is that this always goes back to the fundamentals of understanding what's the goal of the money, number one. Number two, what's the time horizon of the money? And Steve, how old are you?
Late 60s. My wife and I are both 68.
Okay, so let's say that you've got a decade to two, maybe at least, let's hopefully at least 2 decades. So technically, you've got a really long time that you will be here on this earth. And technically, if you have the patience of a full decade cycle, no matter, as long as you're diversified, there's really no reason you should lose money over that full period of time. Doesn't mean you're not going to have these roller coaster swings up and down. That's the problem here. Is that it's these intermediate long-term swings. So there's a couple of thoughts I have. Number one, this is a big reason I go back to the fundamentals of income-oriented investing. Number one is that if you can take your eye off of every single tiny fluctuation, which can start to be nerve-wracking because of the law of large numbers, and focus on the income piece of the equation and say, well, you know, I know that the stocks that I own pay me on average 3% a year or 3.5% a year. I know that that $1 million should be generating 35 grand in quarterly income. And I'm going to get it at different times because each stock will pay at a slightly different time. But ultimately, throughout the year, I get a yield of, let's say, 3.5%. But Steve, if I also then take that income approach and take it one step further and say, well, I don't want everything tied to the market. One, because I just don't like this tremendous fluctuation. So if we enter in other areas that are not tied to the market, then we can look at the bond market. We can look at the government, the corporate bond market, the municipal bond market, the U.S. government bond market, the high yield bond market. There's all these other areas that you could have a portion of those assets that also, not only do they generate interest, so they give you part, they add to the cash flow, but they also, they really leave a lot of the fluctuation behind. In fact, they very often are counter cyclical to the market. So you have a day or a week or a month or a quarter where the market is down, the stock side of the market and the stock side of your portfolio is down, but the bond side is actually up a little bit. So it really, not only does it not go down, but it can very often offset some of the decline. So that now those percentages, instead of a 1.5% day, or let's call it a 5% move in a really bad month to the downside, a really balanced income portfolio might only be down 1% or 2%. It's still tied to the market as long as you own stocks, but the fluctuation can be dramatically reduced. And so the balance is your friend, Steve, and the balance is key. And then as you start to focus in on, hey, wait a minute, what's the steady piece of this? And that's where dividends, interest, and distributions come in. It's these three areas that get consistently produced from all different areas of all different areas of the investment world. And it's dividends that come from stocks, and it's interest that comes from various kinds of bonds. our varieties of bonds, and then distributions that come from MLPs and energy-related companies and real estate investment trusts and closed-end funds that pay out distributions. And you take those three, dividends and interest and distributions, and you add them together, and that's a portfolio yield. And that portfolio yield can stay very, very steady, even in a very unpredictable and unsteady world. And that, to me, is kind of the bastion in the storm when you're dealing with trying to ride out all the inevitable fluctuations of the market. We live in chaos in this world. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I mean, we've had some sort of geopolitical event. We've got refugees that are coming into America from a very scary, difficult place in the world, and our hearts go out to them, but it's scary for everybody. It's terrible for them. It's a challenge for us. We have Russian fighter jets getting shot out of the sky. We have Russian airplanes getting shot out of the sky. When we've got bombings in Paris, and it makes all of us rightfully nervous. And markets continue to be on edge because we live in this state of chaos. And the only way I know of, except for putting money under the mattress, which I don't believe in, because I think we all have a time horizon that is a decade or more. I think I can make a case that no matter how old you are, your money, your assets have a time horizon of a decade or maybe a lot longer than that. For a lot of us, it's a half a century. For goodness sakes. So we've got to have that money working, and we've got to have the patience to allow the investment cycles to happen and do the job they're supposed to do over time. And we know, regardless of how difficult and chaotic and ugly and scary the world is, ultimately time is our friend. And ultimately, no matter how bad things get here in America, if we get the fundamentals right, we will make money over time. And that is the key here that Steve, my friend, hopefully you can remember. You are listening to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. And more of this straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We couldn't get to Gil's question. He had a 401k question. He's 33 years old. And it was asking, hey, can I use my 401k money to pay for higher education without the penalty? Can I use my 401k money for a down payment on a home? Well, this is where things get a little bit confusing. If you have money in an IRA, individual retirement account, yes, you can have some exemptions for school. First-time home buyer, if you haven't owned a home for 2 years, you can use $10,000 up to $10,000. From an IRA without the penalty, the pre-age 59 and a half penalty, and that's often these are great ways to if you need down payment money that you can at least get it penalty free. I think even better is to when you're using a 401k to take so that you're not worried about actually paying taxes or paying penalties is to utilize, if you have other IRAs, you could potentially roll them into a 401k because a 401k you can take a loan from. It's usually most 401ks will up to $50,000 loan or half of whatever the balance is. And that way you can pay yourself back and not worry about a taxable event. Hey, we've got a weekend prize pack here. Ryan Neely, let's do it.
The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Michael Feinstein in concert on December 3rd, 2015, a pair of tickets to see the Vienna Boys Choir on December 9th, 2015, plus a pair of tickets to see Michael McDonald on December 14th, 2015, all at Atlanta Symphony Hall, produced by ASO Presents. In addition, you'll get a family four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Atlanta Gladiators game at Infinite Energy Arena. This week's trivia question, Netflix. That stock is up 157% this year. But there's another stock in the S&P 500, pretty well known, that has also doubled, that actually runs all of the technology behind Netflix, all of the technology operations. What's the name of the company that has also doubled this year that Netflix relies on?
We'll put that answer up out on Twitter and Wes Moss Money Matters on Facebook. Again, we're going to be looking for real results from Black Friday, but it looks as though it's a decent season. But just don't get too caught up with the numbers you hear. Last year, National Retail Federation said that that we had sales down 11.3% from Black Friday and the Black Friday weekend, but for the season, sales are up a full 4.1%. So don't listen, don't read too much into Black Friday retail sales numbers. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good retail season. You've been listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's gonna be all right.